as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker popped wheat and Quaker popped rice, the breakfast cereal shot from gun, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you husky!
Gold! Gold discovered in the Yukon! A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches! Back to the days of the gold rush! With Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice, bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon.
There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker Puff Rice. It's nice. And when you hear that shooting, you're durn tootin' that Quaker makes the ones shot from guns.
So why not start off every day with a bang? For breakfast, enjoy the ones shot from guns. Delicious Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat. Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police entered Inspector Conrad's office at Mounted Police Headquarters in Dawson.
Sergeant Preston reporting, Inspector.
Good morning, Sergeant. Sit down, be comfortable.
Thank you, sir.
I sent for you, Sergeant, because I'm expecting someone here at 10 o'clock. I want you to meet him and hear his story.
Of course, Inspector. It's just about 10 now.
Yes, I hope he doesn't keep us waiting. Here he is now. Come in. Sergeant Preston, this is Mr. John Hawley.
How do you do?
Mr. Hawley, how do you do?
Drop a chair, Mr. Hawley.
Thanks, Inspector.
Now I suggest that you tell the sergeant what you told me last night.
All right. I represent a firm of counselors in London, Sergeant. I was sent here to the Canadian province to search for a certain young man. I must find him, or find definite proof of his death if he is no longer living.
I see. What's his name?
His name is Ernest Deming, but I'm sure he's never used the name.
Huh? Why not?
Well, let me explain. 20 years ago, a chap named Leroy Deming left England against his father's wishes and came to Canada as a missionary, bringing his young bride with him. He was the youngest son of Lord Deming, Earl of Richland.
That's interesting.
About 3 years later, Lord Deming received a hastily written letter from the young missionary. We found the letter recently among his lordship's effects.
Mr. Hawley has that letter with him, Sergeant.
It's right. It's right here. I'll read it. Says, "Dear Dad, I'm writing this note in great haste and sending it to the nearest trading post by an Eskimo who is going to try to get through for help by dog sled. Diphtheria has broken out at our small mission. We are practically snowbound here and many have died. Helen and I are doing our best, but it seems impossible that we'll escape the epidemic. When the disease broke out and before the snow blocked us in, an Eskimo woman took our 6-month-old son, Ernest, to safety in a nearby Eskimo village. When danger has passed, and if we survive, I'll write you again. Your loving son, Leroy."
Was that the last word received by Leroy's father?
Evidently so. And the father made no effort to find him. His lordship's older son died a few years ago without issue. And Lord Deming died within the past year. We don't know what steps were taken, if any, to find out more about the baby Ernest. But we did come across a cablegram from the authorities here stating the baby's father and mother had both died during the epidemic.
I see.
Now, if Ernest Deming, who is now about 18 years old, is alive, he is heir to the estates and titles. Otherwise, he'll go to a nephew of Lord Deming, a wastrel and scoundrel named Jeffers Hooker.
Does the nephew know of that letter?
Yes, yes. When he claimed the estates and titles, he was shown the letter and told that a search was to be made for Ernest Deming.
Sergeant, I want you to help Mr. Hawley in his search for Lord Deming's heir.
Very well, sir. Is there a postmark on the envelope, Mr. Holly?
Yes, yes, it was postmarked 40 Mile, Yukon Territory.
And that's where we'll go. From there, we'll start our search among the Eskimo villages for Ernest Deming.
When will you start, Sergeant?
This afternoon, if Mr. Holly's willing.
The sooner the better. It shouldn't be too difficult to find an English lad among those Eskimos.
At a table near the front window in the Dawson Cafe, Jeffers Hooker, Lord Deming's nephew, sat with a rough-looking companion talking in low voices.
It's rather lucky I ran into you, Kane, on the way up here from Seattle. You haven't changed your mind about helping me, have you?
If you pay what you promised, I'll get through with it. Now, what are your plans, Jeff?
To leave for 40 Mile right away and find young Deming before he does.
Then what?
Then we must see to it that he's put out of the picture.
Yes, I get it. The dog slid and supplies are waiting out back right now.
Well, then we shall leave. Mr. Holly is at Mountie headquarters, probably trying to get information. Come in. We can't waste time.
On a trail about a mile out from 40 Mile, a young girl about 18 moved along toward town on snowshoes. Lucy Pittman, daughter of the town banker, was a kind-hearted and determined young lady who, in spite of her father's objections, befriended some of the less fortunate people around town. Lucy was returning home after paying a visit to an impoverished widow outside of 40 Mile. As the girl rounded a bend in the trail, she stopped suddenly and stared in fright as a large timber wolf crossed the trail in front of her.
Go away! Go away!
Lucy stood rooted to the spot as the large, vicious-looking animal moved slowly forward with bared fangs. Then, as the wolf crouched as if about to spring, the girl screamed.
Help! Help!
Oh, 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 oh! You are all right, Jess.
Oh, yes. Yes, I'm all right. But if you hadn't come along, I... Well, you saved my life. Thank you.
It was nothing.
You mean to save my life was nothing?
Oh, I did not mean that. I am very glad to save one so beautiful. I am Kaylock.
I'm Lucy Pittman, Kaylock. My father will reward you with gold for what you've done.
Kaylock does not want gold for doing what anyone would do. You should not be out here alone on snowshoes. It is most dangerous.
For a moment, Lucy didn't answer. She stared at the handsome young Eskimo standing before her and noticed his weather-browned but smooth skin and regular features.
You know, somehow you're different from other Eskimo boys I've met. The way you speak, for instance.
My mother, Kuna, had books from the white man's mission. She could read and write. She taught me much.
Oh, I see. Well, if you're on the way to town, my father will want to thank you.
Well, you have thanked me. That is enough. Now you ride on sled. Kaylock will take you to home of your father.
Oh, that's very kind of you.
I take snow. Oh,
thank you.
It will not take us long to reach town.
I'm ready.
Hiya! 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 Hiya!
During the next few days, Kaylock came to town often, and each time managed to see and talk to Lucy Pittman. One morning at breakfast, Lucy's father, a widower, spoke strongly to his daughter.
Lucy, I've been meaning to speak to you about a young Eskimo, that fella Kaylock.
What about Kaylock?
Well, people are beginning to talk. Do you realize that?
You mean because Kaylock and I are friends?
Because you and that Eskimo meet openly and walk through town like... Well, like he was actually courting you.
Well, I almost wish he were.
Tarnation, take it, Lucy. Come to your senses.
Look,
I'll not have you.
Dad. You see, last night I met Kaylock. And he said he wanted to tell me something. I was surprised. And very sorry to hear what he had to say.
Much pleasure has come to me being with you, Lucy. But it must not go on. I have decided.
I don't understand, Kaylock.
You are a fine, beautiful white girl. I, Kaylock, am Eskimo.
But Kaylock...
Wait. I must tell you. I am ashamed that I do not feel for my people as I should, Lucy. Kuna, my mother, was good, kind. Often before she died, she told me, Kaylock, you are different. I love you as my son, but you are different. I hope you will be happy in village of our people. But I am afraid for you, Kalok. Afraid.
What did she mean, Kalok?
I do not know. I shall not see you anymore. Kalok the Eskimo must stay among his own. Goodbye, Lucy. It is better this way. Goodbye.
Kalok, wait. Come back. Kalok. Kalok, I must see you again. I must.
By thunder, he has more sense than I gave him credit for. It saves me the trouble of ordering him to stay away from me.
Dad, you'll never understand just how I felt about Kalok. Never.
That same morning at 40 Mile Trading Post, Jeffers Hooker and his companion Kane were talking to the storekeeper.
Maybe you could tell us where we might find an Eskimo guide who knows the villages around here.
Well, now, let me see. Offhand, I can't think of one, but... By Jiminy, here's just a man for you. Speaks good English, too. Kalok, come here a minute.
You call me?
Yeah, these two men want to hire a guide, an Eskimo. I figure you'll be just the one for him.
You know the country and the villages around here, Kalok?
Yes, I know.
I think he'll do, Kane.
All right. We're traders, Kalok. We want to go to all the Eskimo villages near 40 Mile. And I sure hope we find what we're looking for.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Golly, fellas and girls, watch how fast that young Indian swimmer can swim. Why, he's just like a fish. Look at the power in his strokes. And here he comes back already.
Good swim.
Boy, you must be the fastest and most powerful swimmer in the Yukon.
Me beat every brave in tribe.
I suppose you're pretty smart about what you eat.
Oh, must be so.
Say, do you eat Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat?
Oh, every day. Sure as sun rises.
Good. Tell me what you like best about the ones shot from guns.
Oh, they big. Indians like things big.
Sure. That's because they're exploded up to 8 times normal size.
Me like good flavor.
And Quaker puff wheat and rice are wonderful with milk or cream and fruit.
Oh, Indian brave know they good for you.
That's right. A strong brave like you needs plenty of good energy. And the ones shot from guns give you extra food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. So you fellas and girls, take a tip. There's nothing like the one and only Quaker puffed rice and Quaker puffed wheat. Shot from guns. Try them for breakfast tomorrow. Now to continue. That afternoon, Preston and Mr. Holly arrived in 40 Mile. They, too, stopped at the trading post to replenish their supplies and get information. Briefly, the sergeant told the storekeeper the facts and asked about any young Eskimo who might really be white. They were told about Kalok and that he had left that morning with 2 men whom the storekeeper described. Preston's interest in Kalok was aroused, and when he learned of the young Eskimo's friendship with Lucy Pittman, decided to question her. Later, the sergeant and Mr. Holly were talking to Lucy at her home.
Think, Lucy, did Kalok say anything unusual that you remember?
Well, yes. Something that I told Dad about. It seems that Kalok's mother told him that she loved him as her son, but that he was different. That she was afraid he'd never be happy with the Eskimos.
Well, that's interesting.
Very. I think we should try to find that fellow.
Why? What has he done, Sergeant?
Now, don't worry, Lucy. Kalok isn't in trouble. All he wants information.
The last time I saw Kalok was this morning. He was waiting outside the bank for the men who were using him as a guide. I saw him through the window.
Why did the men come into the bank, do you know?
Yes, one of them, the tall one, changed some English banknotes for gold.
English banknotes, you say?
Yes.
Well, that's unusual, isn't it, Sergeant?
It isn't unusual for someone who's just come to the Yukon from England, such as Lord Deming's nephew, Jeffers Hooker, for instance.
Say, you're right. Hooker is tall, dark, thin nose, eyes close together, clean-shaven.
Lucy, does that describe the man who changed those banknotes?
Well, yes. Yes, it does, except that he wore a beard.
Beard could easily be grown while making a trip from London.
By Jove, Sergeant, you must be right in thinking he's Jeffers' hooker.
He stands to lose a great deal if Ernest Deming is found, Mr. Holly. I got something that Kalock had worn, something to give King his scent.
I have something. Last night, Kalock dropped a glove. I was hoping he'd come back to get it. It's in the table drawer.
Would you mind letting me take it along?
Oh, well, no, I'll get it for you. Here it is.
Oh, thank you.
Perhaps if you come back this way, you'll stop and tell me how it... Well, if Kalock is safe.
Of course. We might even bring Kalock back with us to see you. Let's go, Mr. Holly.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye, Lucy.
Once outside, Sergeant Preston, with Mr. Holly on the sled, went to the front of the bank. There, he stopped the dog team.
Barking! Hello!
I don't quite understand what you intend to do, Sergeant.
Mr. Holly, from what we've learned of Kalock, I think he might be the man we're seeking.
You mean Kalock might be Ernest Deming? What gives you that idea?
From the storekeeper's description, he's about the right age and speaks English better than any of the others. His mother attended a missionary school, too.
That's true. I recall the storekeeper saying all that.
What Lucy said adds to my convictions. Kalock's Eskimo mother told him he was different. Said she loved him as a son, but was afraid he'd never be happy with Eskimos.
He could be Ernest Deming at that.
Yes, and from the information we've received, one of the men who hired Kalock as a guide must be Jeffers Hooker.
Great heavens. If that's true, then Hooker is being guided
by the very man he came here to find and perhaps murder. With the scent from this glove, King will be able to pick up Kalock's trail. Here, King. Here, boy. Get the scent, fella. Find him. If Kalock is Ernest Deming, and if Hooker finds it out, Kalock may be murdered.
All right. And King, run!
Meanwhile, Kalock first guided the men who had hired him to his own village. There, Hooker and Kane set out a suitcase full of trinkets. And under the guise of training, they noted each of the young male Eskimos who gathered around them.
None of them look white to me, Jeff.
Yes, I know. But I have another plan. Perhaps some of you have books, white man's books to trade. If so, bring them to us.
You, Kalock, you have black book with gold on front. White missionary, give it to Kuna, your mother.
I keep book, not give it in trade. Kuna left book to me. It have lock of gold. But Kuna tell me to keep good book and not open it ever.
Oh, well, come now, Kalock. Be a good fellow. Let us see the book you have. You needn't trade it if you don't wish to.
All right, I go bring book. But I not trade.
A few minutes later, Kalock returned to the group carrying a leather-bound, gold-lettered Bible, closed and locked by a gold clasp.
Here, good book. I keep it. It have small key on string to open lock.
A white man's Bible. Bring the other suitcase from the sled, Kalock. Perhaps there's something there you'd want for this.
I go get suitcase, but I not trade book.
Kane, get the others interested in the trinkets. I'm going behind the hut and open this clasp.
All right.
Hey, look at these fine trinkets,
buddy. Quickly, Hooker slipped around the hut. Using the small key, he unlocked the clasp.
Yep. Writing on the flyleaf. Leroy Deming. Born to Leroy and Edith Deming, a son, Ernest. January 9th, 1880. By Jove, that fellow Kalock. He must be Ernest.
Quickly, Hooker tore the two pages in the front of the book, rolled them into tight wads, and dropped them into the snow. Then he snapped the clasp back in place. They returned to the group just as Kalock approached for the other suitcase.
Kalock, I've changed my mind. We've done enough trading here. Let us start for the next village.
But it's near sundown, Mr. Hooker. It's best to wait until morning.
You said you knew the country.
Of course. I put away my book now.
Oh, you shouldn't leave that around your hut, Kalock. You should take it with you. Someone might steal it.
Eskimo do not steal.
But you may not get back for some time.
I take it with us. I go pack cases on sled now.
What'd you find out?
Kalock, he's the one.
Holy mackerel.
Keep quiet. We shall dig it here for the next village. Then on the way, we'll get rid of him. Come along. Sleddy's packed and ready to go.
Sergeant Preston and Mr. Holly had left 40 Mile a few hours after Kalok and the others, but they traveled fast and made good time. They arrived at the Eskimo village just a short time after the two men had left with Kalok. They questioned the Eskimos about the recent visitors.
What did they do while they were here?
They showed trinket. Try make trade.
They must not have stayed long.
No. Kalok show him black book but go lack. Fellow with beard want trade. Kalok say no. Him send Kalok for more trinket to sled. Me see fellow with beard go back of hut with book. Then him come out. Him in hurry get away. Then pack up. Give Kalok black book back. Leave.
What do you make of it, Sergeant?
Wait, I'll go look behind the hut. Come on, King. Here's where he stood in the snow. What's that, King? Oh, just scraps of paper.
Sergeant Preston unwadded the two pages from Kalok's Bible.
Oh.
Then he quickly rejoined Mr. Holly.
You seem excited, Sergeant.
Yes, look here. These were torn from that Bible.
What? Great heavens. Then Kalok is earnest.
Yes, and the men with whom he's traveling know it. We must reach them before they kill the boy.
Once more, King picked up the trail. The Mountie and Mr. Holly started in pursuit of Kalok and the other two men.
On King! On, you hussy!
The glow of the setting sun was still on the horizon when Jeffers Hooker and his friend Kane turned off the trail behind a low ridge and stopped.
Ho there, ho! Ho there!
Ho! Ho! Why do we stop behind ridge, Mr. Hooker?
I shall tell you in a minute, Kalok. Oh, by the way, do you carry a gun?
No. I have rifle on my sled. Why do
you... Earth, reach! Be quick about it.
But I don't understand. Why do you point gun at me?
Kalok, you'll never know why we had to shoot you. But I shall tell you this much. You stand in my way.
I have done nothing to
you. There's no time for further talk. Walk to the edge over there.
Go ahead. Walk like he said.
Slowly, Kalok walked to the edge of a cliff. He stood without any show of fear, waiting for the shot he thought must follow.
All right, Kane. Shoot.
Sure. He'll drop into the snowbank below the cliff. He'll be missing for good, then. Here goes.
Hold it! Oh, my arm!
Kane, it's a mountain on the top of the ridge. I'll get it! Ow!
The shot that caused Jeff to fall with a wound in the leg, but he still held his gun. Before he could raise it to shoot again, King leaped at him with a savage growl.
On guard, King. Hooker, as we came around a bend in the trail, I saw you turn off and go behind this ridge. I figured you might be up to something and ran ahead.
Good shooting, Sergeant. I thought the boy was a goner for a moment.
Sergeant, you saved my life. I am grateful.
Ernest, is your lordship all right?
I do not understand such strange talk.
We'll explain on the way to 40 Mile. I arrest you two men in the name of the Crown for attempted murder. I'll bandage their wounds, then take them to jail.
The following day, Sergeant Preston, with Mr. Holly and Kalok, went to Banker Pittman's house when they were certain he was home with his daughter, Lucy. Lucy herself opened the door.
Sergeant Preston, did you find Kalok and was... Oh, Kalok. Oh, I'm so glad to see you again. Do come in.
Well, Sergeant Preston, an Eskimo. What's the meaning of this? Why have you brought him here?
I understand he's calling on your daughter, Mr. Pittman.
What? Does he dare...
Hold on, Mr. Pittman. First, let me introduce Mr. Holly of London, England.
How do you do?
How do you do? Now, Sergeant, tell me what's the meaning
Pardon,
of this.
Pardon, Mr. Pittman, but I'm sure you haven't met Lord Deming, Earl of Richland.
Of course I haven't, but... What the deuce are you talking about?
I'm introducing this young man, sir.
I am most happy, Mr. Pittman.
Wait a minute. What is this? A joke is a joke.
It's no joke, Mr. Pittman. Kalok is really Lord Ernest Deming, Earl of Richland. His father was a missionary, but Ernest was brought up as an Eskimo. We've just been able to prove his identity and tell him of his good fortune.
Great jumping catfish.
Oh, Kalok,
you must call me Ernest, Lucy. I hope to take you to England if you'll...
Oh, of course, Ernest.
You mean Lucy will be the wife of an earl? Holy smoke. And I thought he wasn't good enough.
Lucy loved him when he was just an Eskimo. I think they'll get along all right.
That is right, Sergeant. We will be very happy.
We're happy for you, Ernest, and very glad to say this case is closed.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure. In 3 seconds, fellas and girls, name the breakfast cereal the whole family likes to eat.
Wait now. We didn't say the one that Dad alone likes, or you, or Mom, but the whole family.
Why, sure. In 3 seconds, you can give the answer.
Delicious Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice.
As Mom knows, some of your family like their cereal not so sweet, some like it ever so sweet.
And that's the beauty of Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat.
Your family gets the sun-ripened natural flavor that old Mother Nature puts into the good natural grain. No factory sweetening is added.
So each one in your family can sweeten it with sugar just the way he likes it.
So be sure Mom gets the big red and blue Quaker packages with a sealed inner lining that keeps delicious Quaker Puffed Wheat and Rice as crisp as can be.
And say, fellas and girls,
something big is coming your way.
Something new, something different, right out of the great Northwest.
Something you'll want for your very own.
Be first to hear full details of a terrific offer on this program real soon.
Be sure to be listening. And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Reporting for duty, Inspector.
Sergeant, as you know, Matt Johnson was found dead on the trail between here and Crystal Creek.
Yes, sir. He was caught in an avalanche, I believe.
He was caught in an avalanche, true. But the coroner's report indicates that Matt must have been dead when the avalanche hit him. I'm assigning the case to you, Sergeant. Instead of an accidental death, it seems to be a case of murder.
The man who planned Matt Johnson's death was so certain his guilt would never be discovered that he plotted another murder. And the motive for this one was a long, smoldering hatred for a member of the Northwest Mounted Police. A hatred for Sergeant Preston and the ideals for which he stood. Don't miss this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Fred Flowerday, and edited by Fran Stryker. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at this same time by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. The breakfast cereals shot from guns.
Hello, folks. This is your friend, Aunt Jemima. Most of you know my Aunt Jemima pancake mix makes the lightest pancakes ever. But did you know it makes wonderful waffles, too? Yes, for crisp, golden, feather-like waffles. Just follow the easy waffle directions on the back of my Aunt Jemima pancake mix package. And quick as a flash, you'll bake waffles folks rave over, like my song says. What do most folks love to eat? Waffles, waffles. What kind are the biggest treat? Aunt Jemima's are. Aunt Jemima waffles, golden, tender, light. Easy to fix with my pancake mix. Have some this very night. Thank you, folks.
This is Jay Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. Listen tomorrow at the same time to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the drink that makes you feel fresh again, delicious Orange Crush. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.